left off about a previous year, that's what I'm with him. We're talking about one of the takanas of Rabbi Gamliel and Zake, that although Meikra did for a woman to collect a ksuba, she has to swear that she hasn't cheated, that she hasn't already collected part of a ksuba. So nevertheless, the days of poor Rabbi Gamliel, they realized that giving shavuos to people is very, very dangerous. You know, sometimes a person will make a mistake, they'll swear, they thought, they forgot, whatever the case may be, and it'll turn out that they'll be taking a false oath. So therefore, Chazal tried very, very much to minimize the amount of shavuos that we're going to administer. Problem was, is that so the woman's not collecting a ksuba. So we're a little bit of a quandary. On the one hand, we cannot let her collect a ksuba without a shavuot. The other hand, we don't want to give her shavuot. So we're going to come up with another option. We're going to come up with the idea that we'll make her take a neder. Rather than taking an oath with a hand on the Sefer Torah, invoke in the name of Hashem, she'll take a neder that she won't eat meat, she won't eat fruit, whatever it is, if she has already previously collected part of her ksuba. And that will serve as enough of an incentive that she shouldn't cheat. And on the other hand, it's not going to have the chomer, it's not as strict, not as significant as actual chashuvos. So the Gemara says that the reason for this whole takana was is that the woman may lie, she may claim that she didn't collect the ksuba, but in fact she really did. So the Gemara continues on in the Hamad Aleph. It's about 15 lines from the top. The first word line is be'emes. Imishumha, my iriya mana, I feel grushanami. According to this logic that we are afraid that the woman may have actually collected the ksuba, then this should be true for a grusha as well. There are two cases where a woman collects the ksuba, either if the husband dies or if the husband divorces her. So why alama amr b'zeir b'shmol lo shara alamona about grusha b'shminos? Shmuel taught us that when did we stop administering shavuos? That's when the amana, when the widow is trying to collect the ksuba, but the grusha, the divorcee is trying to collect the ksuba, we'll make her take a shavuot. So if the reason is because of Shua Sheker, why should there be such a distinction? So the Gemara says, no, the reason is based on the following. Amana Shaini, the Bahia Nodika Tarchi Kamadi Aspe, Asaruha Teira. We're not afraid that someone's going to literally dishonest and walk at the base and put the hand on the secretary and swear falsely that they got nothing, even though they have possibly already half the ksuba. That's not what we're afraid of. We're afraid is that she may take a little bit of the money from the estate of her deceased husband, and she'll think that she's entitled to that money. Why? Because after all, she's taking care of the kids. So she's helping out around the house. The husband died. Now she's raising the children. So she thinks, my gili more than my 200 zuz. So she'll pocket a few dollars on the side. She'll chalk it up as her own little payment for what she's doing. And then she'll come and she'll say, I didn't collect any of my ksuba. Which is not really true, because any of the money that she pocketed on the side really goes to the cheshire of the ksuba. By a grusha, that's not going to happen. By a grusha, when he divorced her, she's out the door. She's not helping out, taking care of the little kids anymore. So the Gemara changes a little bit what we're afraid of. We're not really afraid that she's going to totally clearly be dishonest. She's going to be what's called mara heter. And she's going to finagle a little bit, take a little bit she thinks she's entitled to. And that concern really only makes sense by an amma. So now the Gemara continues to qualify this practice now, that which we stopped administering shavuos for ksuba. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Shmuel, Der Mitzvah. Both Rabbi Shmuel agreed. Lo Shana El Beis Din. The only time that we're afraid to administer a shavua, that's a shavua in Beis Din. Means with the whole ceremony, you're taking out the Sefer Torah, you're dark in the room, and you're making a whole panorama. That's a pachat. There was another kind of a shvuah that was sometimes administered. It wasn't administered with the formalities of a beis din with the whole nine yards. It was simply that the rabbanim on the side would say, listen, if you're you better be telling the truth. And if you're not telling the truth, we're going to give you a curse. We're going to give you an olah. We're going to give you whatever. It was a lot more toned down. That's called the shvuah shalom beis din. So shvuah shalom beis din, nishkafela. That's not so severe. And therefore, we can still invoke that even as man is there. Ini, the Gemara says, is that true? We know that Rav himself would not let the almanas collect the ksuba because Rav was afraid to administer any single shmuel whatsoever. So if this option is available, given this lower down, a less severe shmuel outside of the basin, if Rav held that way, why didn't Rav himself practice that way? So the Gemara says, Kasha, you're talking right, Sakapella, that we don't really understand. It can't be that Rav was the one who said, you're allowed to do it, and Rav himself would never let a woman actually collect the ksuba. Bisura Mastuhachi, Yunadoa Mastuhachi. So the original version that we had, that was Rav and Shmuel, who both agreed to that halacha that you can't administer the outside of Eis and Shavuah. That was the verse that was taught in the Shiva of Surah. But in the Shiva of Nahardah, that was taught a little bit differently. Surah and Nahardah were the two prominent yeshivas in the early days of the Amorim Lavel. Rav was Rosh Shiva in Surah, and Shmuel was Rosh Shiva in Nahardah. Nahardah eventually was destroyed. The whole town, it was a massive fire broke out, and the whole city of Nahardah pretty much was destroyed. Surah remained actually for hundreds and hundreds of years. Through the days of the Gaonim, Surah was still a great yeshiva. Eventually, Nahardah switched over, and eventually another town called Pupadisa became the second main place for Torah. And then through the days, through about the year 1000 or so, Surah and Pupadisa was still the two prominent Torah centers in Babel. So in the days of the early Amoraim, so the Talmidim and Surah had that version that Rav and Shmuel both agreed you could administer the outside of Beis Din Shmuel. But in Nahardah, they had a little bit of a different version of what happened. In Nahardah, Masdochi, Amr Avidam Shmuel, Lo Shalom Beis Din, Abachutz Beis Mishbinoson. In Nahardah, they attributed this distinction to their Rebbe, to Shmuel. But in Hardah, they claimed that Rav did not agree to what Shmuel said. A little bit of a strange thing. You have machlokes between the Tamidu and Rav and Tamidu Shmuel telling us what Rav said. A little bit, again, Tamidu, there was a lot of overlap between the Tamidu. So comes the Gemara and says, and if that's the case, if the version is correct, that Rav would not administer the Shmuel, then Rav the Tamei. So Rav was going according to his opinion, the Rav Lamad Miksubah Amalta, that Rav would never let an Amana collect the Ksuba because he refused to administer any Shmuel whatsoever. So the Gemara says, Vala Adre Vali Biye. He goes, wait a second, what do you mean Rav never let an Amana collect the Ksuba? Why didn't he follow the Takana of Rav Gleb? Rav Gleb was hundreds of years before Rav. So why didn't he administer a Nether? Wasn't that the whole point of our Mishnah? That no one's taking shmuz anymore. They're too dangerous, too risky. So let's at least administer a neder. So says the Gemara, Bishani Dirav Kili Nidre. In the days of Rav, people were taking the darim very lightly. So people didn't view that as an incentive anymore. They take it and then violate the neder. What's the big deal? So we got ourselves into a little bit of a pickle that we're not going to administer shmuz. Those are too risky. We're not going to administer the darim because nobody takes them seriously. The Rav puts hands up and says, I don't know how to help. I don't know what to do. I can't collect the ksuba without some kind of a proof that you didn't collect before. So unless the Yisomim are going to be honest and they're going to be straightforward and going to give her the money, right, the hands of Bezin are going to be tied if you live in a generation where you can't take shmuz and you can't take the darms. That's a big, big problem. So there was a woman who came in front of Rav Huna. Rav Huna, of course, was the Talmid Bufok of Rav. So a woman came in front of Rav Huna. Amalah, he said to my Avid Lech, he said, how can I help you? He said, I don't have the mechanism to help you collect Iksuba. The Rav Lamad Iksuba Liyamalta, because he said, my Rebbe Rav was of the opinion we can't help you anymore because the Shmuz were not going to do it, the Dharma aren't going to work. So Amr Lay, so she took the initiative. She said, Midu Taima Eladuma Nakitna Midu Iksuba. I'll see. She said, what are you afraid of? You're afraid that I already collected part of my ksuba? You think I'm lying? I'm trying to cheat the husband? So Chai Hashem Tzavach, she took a ned there in the Nesim Iksuba Siklub. So she took a shmur. No one asked to take the shmur. She took the shmur on her own accord. So Amr Rav Huna, Rav Huna says, great, wonderful. Mo the Rav confesses. Even Rav would agree that if she took the shmur herself, so it's a proof. We as Beis are not going to get involved. We're too nervous to start administering shmurs to people because maybe they're lying. But if she took it on her own, so then good. So then she's going to get her money. Hayidi asar the kamei the Rav Bar Huna. A simple story happened that somebody came in front of Rav Bar Huna. So ready the next generation. Rav was the one who was holding back and not letting the women collect ksubas. His Talmud Rav Huna was following suit. And now the Rav Bar Rav Huna, the third generation, had the same shayla. So he doesn't come to Rav Bar Rav Huna. Amalah, my Avilach. He said the same thing. The Rav Lamag Miksuba Lamalta. He said, Rav, the two generations ago, had stopped helping the women collect ksubas. The Abba Mori said, my father, Rav Huna, Lamag Miksuba Lamalta. He said that my father wouldn't do it either. So Amalei, so she said to him, okay, Havli Mazoni, let me continue to be supported by the Yisomim. But generally, the halacha is that when a husband dies, so the woman can either go and collect Ksuba, or for whatever reason, she's not collecting Ksuba right now, she is still entitled to be part of the Parnas. She can still get fed by the Nichsei HaYisomim. The heirs, the Yisomim, still have to support the Almana. So basically that ability to be fed exists until the ksuba is collected. Once she goes and collects the ksuba, then of course the game is over. So now this woman backpedaled a little bit. She said, okay, I wanted to collect my ksuba. You told me you can't help me. So I'm going to go back to eat the food. So he said, is it a better deal for her? I'm not sure. So it's not going to be forever. Once she remarries, she gave over. So in the interim, is it better for her? Maybe it is. I don't know. So Amar La Mizoni Nami Leislev. So Rav Huna said to her, guess what? You no longer have Mizonos. The Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Shmuel Hatavas Ksubasu Beis Din Ein La Mizonos. Once a woman asks for a Ksubin Beis Din, that at that point she loses the rights of Mizonos. So it's not the actual collection that makes her lose the rights. It's simply the demanding the Ksubin that makes her lose the rights. What is that based on? So the Gemara explains, Rashi, which reference, the Gemara explains that why is it that after the husband dies, she's still entitled to the Mizonos? It says that in the official Beis Din Psach, and they call the Tayyar Ksuba. Why is that so? That a woman, after the husband dies, she's still attached to the Mizonos. So Chazal understood the Kol's Ban, that she's not remarrying, so she's still considered to be part of the household of the husband. And so therefore, the husband, when he was originally Mishabin himself, understood that as long as she's still remaining part of that household, she's still attached to the Mizonos. The minute that she starts to break out of that household, how does she break out of that household? If she mamish remarries, or if she already asks for a ksuba, she's already asking for the ksuba. That means she's already one foot out the door. She's asking the ksuba. She wants to end the relationship. She wants to go on her own. She wants to go get remarried. So once she asks for the ksuba, the game is over. So now this woman got herself mom into a pickle. She asked for the ksuba, so the rabbi would have told her, I can't help you. She says, give me mizonos. He said, you just lost the mizonos. So Amra lay. So she got very annoyed at that. She said, Avchua le kursei kibay treyav the lay. So she said something like, and it's a little bit unclear what exactly that lotion is. So she said something along the lines of, let him be like turned upside down or something. It was like a little bit of a disrespectful thing. He said about Rabba Ravuna, that like flip him over, like something in some, again, it's hard for us to know the slang of bubble of the 300s, but it was something that was not exactly the greatest compliment, because she said, he's doing me two things. He's taking my ksuba, he's not giving me the money. So they were afraid that curse that she gave to Rabbi Avuna would be fulfilled. So havchua the kursei b'tertzua. So they took Rabbi Avuna's chair and they turned it upside down. They flipped it back over again. It's like somehow that whatever losha, whatever koach hadibah that she may have had, so it should be mekuyim in the chair. It shouldn't affect him. So I feel hachi lo ifrig michusha. Nevertheless, the Gemara says that he was always affected from that story. And some of that little bit of a disrespect, that curse that she meted out to Rabbi Avuna, affected him, and he was always weak for the rest of his life. Somehow, he always was impacted by those words of that woman.
Why do we invoke growth here? Most Jews are honest. They then ask her, "Have you collected the ksuba? Why don't we invoke growth that she can be trusted? We're withholding money from the majority of the honest women because of the minority that lie."
Right. Well, we generally don't do that. We generally not mostly woman based at Rome. We have to, those are the shurim we learned in the Tuesday night shurim, that we have to have very, very unique situations to be multi mamon. So to be multi mamon, you need edim, you need real super duper rights. Just a rove is probably not going to be enough to take away a person's money. So he's still the muhsuk of the money. He's still the muhsuk of the money. So if we have a real concern that she's lying, we have a problem. The problem is, you know, in the olden days, it's not that she lost the money. She would just have to take the shvuah. The problem is we society has created this almost impossibility that we can't let her take a shvuah because it's too risky. We're not going to give her a neder because we don't think she takes it seriously. So that's what Ra found himself in this checkmate. Now the women are not going to be able to collect the shvuah.
But we do trust her
financially.
You know, she's taking care of the zone.
But she's not really taking care of them. I mean, we're going to appoint, a base that's going to appoint an apotropist to really deal with her. She's going to be, you know, feeding them a little bit, doing little things around the house. But in terms of the real hardcore dini mamonos, we're going to appoint somebody else.
These are her children.
Not necessarily. They're not necessarily her children, right? Which is could be another marriage, right?
What if they are her children? Mother?
Well, again, you have to go back, pick up in the mindset of Chazal. You're not going to have a woman running the whole business. I mean, women didn't run businesses in the days of Chazal. So the woman's not going to buy and sell. Like the husband died, he left behind the whole estate. So we're not going to have this almana, manage the whole estate. It's not going to be probably the most practical situation. So Amar Rav Yehuda, and on the first of the wide lines, Amar Rav Yehuda, Rav Yirmiyah B'ira. So Rav Yehuda told Rav Yirmiyah B'ira, Adra B'beis Din, the Ashba Achutz L'beis Din. So he said to Rav Yirmiyah B'ira, when you want to collect somebody's tzuba, so make it take a neder. There means follow the Takhon of Rav Galil. Forget about the people who are not worried about the Nadar. They are worried about the Nadar. You do the neder. And also, and also give her a shvuah outside of Eisden. So remember we said before that according to some, a shvuah outside of Eisden would work. But leisei kala, and then let the word come to me, v'leipa ba'udne, v'ba'ina ki'eche de'avim b'mais. He said, let my ear hear what happened. He said, you take care of the details. Yehuda was the diet. He told him, you're Rabbi Roy. He said, listen, you make sure to administer the shvuah in the right place, and make it take the net and the lice, get all the facts right, get all the paperwork ready, and let me find out about it, and I'll be happy to let her collect the ksuba. So Gufa, let me go back to what we said before. Amar b'zeira, amar shmol. Lo sharu el amana of a grusha b'shbinosa. When do we say that we're not going to administer regular shvuah days and that's for the amana, but for a grusha we will? And the reason being is because when it comes to a grusha, there's nothing really to be afraid of. When it came to the amana, we're concerned, unless she was merehetin, that she thought she's entitled to a few extra pennies, so she took it without telling anybody. But the grusha, mistama, she's not cheating, so we can just administer the shvuah and shay. So really, the Gemara says, a grusha, the adra lo, is that really true, that when it comes to a grusha, so we don't go down the route of a ned there, we go back to the original practice of shvuah? There was once a story that there was a message sent from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. Whenever the Gemara uses the phrase shalch mitam, tam means sham. So shalch mitam means that the dayan and the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael sent the message to the Chachmei Babel about the following story that had occurred. It was a woman from Babel who ended up in Eretz Yisrael, and then the dayan and Yisrael took care of the case. They wanted to make sure the dayan and Babel understood what was going on. Eich plonisa bas ploni. About the following woman, her name was Plenis, Rachel Bas Adam, whatever it was, Kabila's Gita, she received a get min yada to Acha Bahidya, that the name of the husband was Acha Bahidya, the miscreate Ayamori, that he had a nickname, Ayamori, so you should know exactly what we're talking about. The Nadras, the Adras perish of Olam Allah, and not only did we administer the get, but we took care of the ksuba as well, and in order for her to collect the ksuba, so she swore that she had not received anything, not really switched up a dead there, that she had not received anything from the ksuba. And she said that if I'm lying to you, if I'm cheating, and I actually collected part of my ksuba, so then she wouldn't be able to eat any fruit for the rest of her life. Ko perisha ba'olam. The Gemara says that they actually administered in Eretz Yisrael this neder. Lo kabilas b'ksuba, so that she had not collected any part of ksuba except for a very, very small amount. So even in the neder, she admitted that I collected 20% of my ksuba, but I want to collect the rest. So they actually delineated, they spelled out exactly what she had collected. So the Gemara says that what has she collected? Ela glufkara echad. There was one coat. Rashi says, Kufvav tes aleph, a kota. On the side, they say, Ksus official tzemer, a very heavy woolen kind of a garment. So related to the English word coat. The sefer tehillim echad. Another thing that she had collected as the ksuba, that the husband had some scrolls floating around, so the scrolls cost money, the sefer tehillim. So she used that as part of her ksuba collection. The sefer Eov, she got a sefer Eov as well. You know, if you in today's world, if you're thinking about the things that she collected, she got this amount of jewelry, she walked through that amount of, you know, that amount of stocks and investments, she got this real estate, she collected a coat, a sefer tehillim, and a sefer Eov, memshalos. And say for Mishlei, Beluim, they weren't even in such great condition. They were like ripped a little bit. And how much was all of the grandiose treasures worth? Mishamnum b'chamish amana. They were all together. They were worth 5 mana. Now the ksuba is going to be the baseline ksuba is going to be 200 zuz, but ksuba can be a lot more than that because the same way that we do, we have what's called tosefet ksuba. The husband adds on the hosif lamin delay. So he adds on loads and loads of more ksuba, and then we write in other things proper that she brings into the marriage from her father's home. We throw that into the ksuba. So the under the chuppah, the husband's b'chayv himself for an awful lot of money. So to over here, that when we talk about the ksuba, we're not talking about just the bare bone minimum of 20 zuz. So like in response to the question, is it worth it for her to eat or to collect the ksuba? It may depend on how much this ksuba is worth. If the ksuba is worth a lot of money, maybe worth it for her to collect the money right away. If she has a bare bone minimum ksuba, then it may not be worth it. So the Dayanim in Eretz Yisrael sent this written letter, that message to the Bnei Bavel, that when this lady comes to Beis Din, so you guys collect the rest. So just subtract whatever she we know that she has collected. So there's a problem because this is talking about a ksuba of a grusha, a woman who was divorced. Obviously, that's what the story started with a get, and nevertheless, we're still administering the Dorim, not Shavuos. That contradicts what we said before. So, Rav Ashi, who get Yevam and Hava? No, we have the story wrong. that was not a regular get. They weren't a regular married couple. She was actually a vama. Her original husband had died, so she was an almana who's still awaiting the yivma chalitza. Gemara Mishnah tells us in Masechet Yevamos, let's say the yavam, instead of doing yivam to her, he says, you know what, I don't want to do that. Gives her a get. Minatori, that's meaningless. He's not married to her, so the get doesn't mean anything. But mid the rabbanon doesn't look good. Mid the rabbanon, once he gave her a get, people are going to think that, oh, he gave her a get. That's a giving of chalitza. And then he's going to go, yivam with her, you know, I'll do that. You're not allowed to do yibum after you're ready to do chalitza. But the most Rishon that's in is a deraisa. So with the Rabbanon, they made a takana that if you already gave her a get, most people are not so attuned to the intricacies of the Yavamas. So people are going to think, oh, he gave her a get. Oh, yeah, he really needs the same as chalitza. Oh, now he's marrying her next week. Oh, you're allowed to do yibum after chalitza, which would be a problem. So once he gave her a get, the game's over. And he has to chalitza and finish. So this suba that's now being collected for this woman, it was a get written. It wasn't a get like a regular married woman's get. It was a get yavamin, it was called. And now they have chalitza. Now she's going to get a ksuba, but she's getting the ksuba not as a grusha. She's getting it as an almana of the first husband because she's entitled to the ksuba for the original husband once the brother decides not to do yibum. In this case, he can't do yibum because he already gave her a get. So bottom line is that Gamila told us that we changed the rules a little bit. No longer a shvua. Now we're going to have a nedarim. So his kid Rav Gamliel HaZokah at the top of Lamed Beis. His kid Rav Gamliel HaZokah Shein Oderes Vuchulei. Amar Rav Huda Lo Shana El Mishlo Niseis. Aval Niseis Eim Adivin Osa. So comes the Gemara and says that Bamed Bar Mamurim that we're going to let her take a neder and she's going to collect her. So she's going to take a neder and say, all fruit should be also to me the Anvar if I collect him. But that's if she has not yet remarried. If she's already remarried, you can't give her, let her take a neder. Why not? What's the problem? This is my time with the Mayful Abal. The joke. She'll take a neder. She's not, all food should be also to her if I collect the Meksuba. She'll wink, wink to her husband and say, just be quiet until we leave the basin. We leave the basin. Be made for my neder and show my soul. We can party and all the money. The second round ksuba that we just collected from my first husband. The Gemara says that when once she remarries, the game's over. There's always that concern. How far is the darm? Husband could just simply cancel the neder just like that. So yes, the Gemara, wait a second. Kilo nisis nami, even if she's not yet married. So how could we let her take a neder? L'chimintzimah meful abal. So she'll come with the following stunt. Her goal is to collect a lot of money. And she knows she's getting married anyway. So she'll whisper to the other, listen, I'm not getting married yet. Because if we get married, they won't give me the ksuba. So I'll go to Beis Din in the morning. I'll take this crazy, nutty net that never needed any meat and wine, etc. And then Beis will give me all the money. And then we'll get married that afternoon. And you'll be made for the nether, right then and there. We'll have a party. So comes everyone and says, no. That's not going to work. No, in a Baal made for the Kaidman. A Baal cannot be made for a neder that took place before they were married. The Torah says in Basi Shah Nadara, only Dharma that took place in the husband's house he can be made for. If she's already married to the second husband, so then there's always that concern. She'll take his funny neder, then she'll get the husband to cancel an hour later. But if she's not yet married, to be concerned he's gonna marry her now, and if that's not gonna work anyway, it's in a Baal made for the Kaidman. So yes, wait a second. Forget about the Baal being made for canceling the neder. She'll take this grandiose neder. She's not going to eat any more meat for the rest of her life unless she collected her ksuba. And then she'll collect all the money. Then Erev Hashem, she'll go to the Beis Din. She'll go to the rabbi and say, by the way, can you please be mater neder? What's your neder? I took a neder, not eating any meat. No problem. Mutlach, mutlach, mutlach. The Gemara says, why are we not worried about that? We're working with the assumption that when a person comes and they want to be matir and neder, it's not a freebie. That matir and neder, no problem, everything's okay. They have to explain why you take a neder. So based on to interrogate them, we're used to this, like, remember, chick chak, the Torah, the Dharm, Rav Shana. That's what you notice in the Nusach and Rav Shana, we say, the Dharm she'en any Rosh Latiram. He said, there's certain Dharm that I don't want to be matir because I'm not allowed to be matir. A woman takes a neder. That in the case I collected money from Ksuba, I'm not going to eat meat for the rest of my life. And then she goes out and she lied to her teeth. And then she comes to me mouth the neder. So the minute that the Beis Din asks her, why did you take such a neder? You're not going to eat meat. I took such a neder because the Beis Din made me take it in order to collect my Ksuba. So the Beis Din will ask her, so did you collect the Ksuba or not? She said, yeah, of course I collected my Ksuba ready. So she goes, we're going to help. that's not going to work. So Tzach Lefarad said neder. Somebody came to me a few months ago. They took some sure to get neder. And they want to be mounted in that there. So I talked to them a little bit and asked them what it was. Turns out that they had no right to be matir neder. They should have taken it in the first place, but they basically took a neder to do something they were supposed to do anyway. So they wanted now they didn't really want to do what they wanted to do. So they can't be matir neder. So I said, instead of being matir neder, why don't you just do what you're supposed to do? That's what's supposed to happen here. So they wanted, in the fit of the moment, they took this silly neder, but if I'd be matir neder for them, that would cause them to do more favors. We would have so many more negative repercussions. So I'm not a big fan of keeping the darim, I said, but anyway, you have to do it. So just do it in Gemara and finish the story. So that's what Beis Din is going to say there also. So there's nothing to worry about. So we're not worried about a first Nadar because you're not married yet. Ain't about made for the Kodim. It can't be made for less the Nadar that preceded the marriage. We're not afraid of a Taurus Nadar because no one's dying in the right mind. We'd never be mad. There's such a Nadar. So Rav Nachman Omar, says, a filu nisais. Rav Nachman says that even if she's already married, we could still administer this neder. Nothing to worry about. Why? But nisais, what do you mean? The husband's for sure going to be made for the neder. He says, no, the Malvina Lava Rabbim. We're going to administer a neder in such a way that's not possible for the husband to be made for such a neder. What does that mean? That's a whole sugya coming up in the Talmud Vav. If a woman takes a personal private neder nobody knows about, so then the husband theoretically could be made. He could just cancel the neder just like that. But if she takes it in public, she comes up to shul and makes a neder in front of 10 people, that's a neder should be rabbi. It's a different kind of a neder. And according to some opinions, we don't necessarily pass it, according to some opinions, such a neder is not able to be mufar in the first place. So according to Rav Nachman, in the opinion that the husband couldn't be made for that neder, even if he wanted to, then there's nothing to worry about. So the goal is, you can't like take an easy neder, easy come, easy go. The husband's going to bump it off in 10 minutes from now. But if you create a scenario of a type of a neder that's impossible for the husband to be made for, then we're safe. Then there's nothing to worry about. So the Meis family have a brisa that says, Nises gobel tsubasa im nadra. So the brisa says that if she takes a neder, even though she's married, it's going to work. My love nadra hashta. Doesn't it mean that she takes the neder now after she's already married? That seems to support Rav Nachman, that there are some nadarim that we can administer even after they're married. Lo, the nadra meikara. The brisa means that she took the neder before she got married. That's what we said before. That kind of a neder, for sure the husband can't cancel. Yes, the Gemara Vatani, we have another brisa that says, Nisei's no deris for Gomsubo. So the brisa says she's already married. She's coming to Beis Din married ready for 6 months, and she's going to take the neder right now. So isn't that a support for the idea of Rav Nachman that let her take a neder should the berabim that the husband won't be able to cancel? It's not going to be said tonight. The ikal man diyama neder should berabim yesh lo afara. The ikal man diyama ain lo afara. One Tana says that a neder that's done in public can still be canceled by the husband. Therefore, we can't administer such a neder because she's going to go to the husband's going to cancel it in a minute. But the other opinion that says that any law for that, then it would be a safe neder. So the bottom line is, any neder that she's going to take has to be real. It has to be something that's going to have some teeth to it. If the neder is going to be easily overturned, either by the Beis Din or by the husband, then obviously this neder is absurd. It's not going to accomplish the feats. So I'm going to continue a little bit more about some of the details of Hilchos HaTaras Nedarim, HaFaras Nedarim, that are not really relevant to this part of the sugya proper, but it's a little sidetrack now into the next Nedarim. So you're off with Shem. Next year we'll continue that. Okay, we should have to start when the next year is. That's the only question. Okay, so we'll keep you. I mean, tomorrow, let's see. Tomorrow,
Monday,
the Mishkan. We'll just try tomorrow about Monday. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Rabbi, thank you. Shkoyach, Ari.
Okay.
Oh, tomorrow. Oh, tomorrow's the last day. Okay, good. So we just decided. Okay.